I hope this hasn't actually happened to any of our listeners. We want to hear from you if it has happened to you, but we're going to talk to Liz Paul, who is also a psychotherapist and relationship counsellor. Liz Paul joins us on the line right now. Good evening, Liz.
Good evening, Jono. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Welcome to the show. I am Jono. You got my name absolutely spot on. And that's the lovely Lisa Ferrari next to me.
Oh, Melissa.
Yeah, Melissa. Did I call you Lisa?
You did call me Lisa, but Liz corrected you because she knows me very well, and that's what Liz does.
How are you, Melissa?
I'm wonderful, Liz. So happy to have you on the show.
It was Freudian, wasn't it? I was a bit Freudian then.
So who's Lisa, Jono?
I can't possibly. She's a friend of mine, actually.
Okay, you're in trouble. Yeah. You can book yourself in to me next week.
No, it's a very good friend of my wife's, actually, so I'm
Okay, that's all right.
I could have been in trouble before, but I'm not now.
Okay, that's good to hear.
All right, so Liz, you're on the show tonight to talk to us about being dumped at the end of an affair that you may have thought was forever. And you've written a particular blog about it. So tell us a little bit about what you're coming on the show to talk about tonight.
Was it a personal story, or is this just something that you've had told to you a number of times by people saying, I thought it was the, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Right, and then suddenly I get dumped?
Yeah. Fortunately for me, it's not a personal story, but yes, it's a story I hear frequently, and it's really heartbreaking for the person that's been caught in the trap. And it can follow a particular series. I mean, obviously people have affairs, and it's not always for narcissists, right? But there is a certain pattern. There are, you know, certain people out there that have a pattern of attracting somebody else, and, you know, that narcissists generally want to, you know, achieve certain goals to any extent.
Yeah.
And so that might be winning this particular person that's taken their eye for some reason. And, of course, then it can be a bit of a game and a bit of a sport. And, of course, by the time it's all finished, the person's left pretty burnt at the end of it. And so you can step through certain points and you can help that person realise that, you know, it wasn't about you, because by the time you finish with an narcissist, there's nothing right about yourself. You've lost your self-esteem, you know, you don't know who you are anymore, you blame yourself, you know, how could that have happened to me? He was my soulmate. And I have to say, well, you know, basically, if you're dealing with a narcissist, it goes from soulmate to soul-destroying, and usually pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, so it's pretty tough. So what questions would you like to ask me?
Okay, so what this relationship that you're describing, what are the three predictable stages of a love affair with a narcissist? So just to put in perspective, I guess we use that term for the sake of the interview or the blog Liz has written. And so I guess this is kind of a generalization, and we're just talking about a certain kind of relationship style. So what are the three stages of a love affair with someone like this?
Because it is almost like a hunt, isn't it? It's kind of like the chase, the catching of the quarry, and then the kind of the downside.
No, you get dumped. Yeah.
Yeah, the downside's pretty tough. There are actually three really predictable stages. It starts with the idealised, you know, they do a lot of work when they've picked a target. They get to know that person's likes and dislikes really well before the other person even know they exist, right? So their favourite colour, their favourite food, you know, what they like to watch on TV, and then that person becomes exactly like them. So they then idolise that person. It's that stage of limerence, because then it is real, that stage, even though they may be married or whatever, but it's very real, and that's what they call themselves. They make themselves out to be your soulmate.
Yeah.
And, gee, it feels like that, because everything about them is exactly the same as yourself, because they're mirroring themselves to you. They're mirroring you to you, you know, back to you. But that's what it feels, that great limerence, you know, where, you know, it's so exciting and it's infatuated love, and this is the person I should have been with. And I've had people leave marriages for this very thing and then have to realise that it was all a game.
Yes.
So So it starts with idolise, and then, you know, as the game starts to bore a little bit, and narcissists are very controlling and highly manipulative, so if you start to put, you know, your hand up and saying, hey, no, this is not really working for me, then it can get a bit tough on them because they don't like that. You have to walk in their shoes with them the whole way because it's all about them, you know. They don't really care about anyone else but themselves. Then your second stage, that's when they start to devalue. So they've won you over, they're starting to get bored, they're losing a bit of interest in you. You have to step up to keep them interested and excited. And then you go from everything to them to nothing. Usually, you know, it can be quite rapidly or can be slowly. But, you know, just as in any stage of limerence or that great soulmate stage, even in great relationships, yeah, that goes from anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years, and it's all hard work.
Yeah.
But with a narcissist, it's probably more likely they're not going to go fairly quickly because they get bored quickly.
Is there an approximation of how long these relationships can go on for? It seems to me that it's like the sort of the three stages are pretty fast, or the middle stage might be the longer bit, and then at the end it's kind of like the narcissist or the guy or the person involved suddenly goes, I've got to get out of this, it's not working for me anymore, I'm moving on.
And it can be quick.
That's usually quick. Yep. You're right. The devalue stage is the stage that they, you know, it's sort of a bit of a cat and mouse type of stage.
Yeah.
They try to keep bringing back that excitement into it, but then going, no, this is too hard, and, you know, there's other people now taking my eye. Because they do bore easily. So the thing is, too, at this stage, they like to start to isolate you from those around you that are seeing this happening. And so that's a really good indicator when they start to say, anyone that you cares about you starts to say, hey, he's not treating you really well. Why do you feel so bad about yourself when you go out with him? You come home and you feel, you know, worthless the next day, and he makes you feel it's your fault. And they really cut down on that really quickly. So you know you're in trouble if someone's, you know, isolating you from family and friends, people that you really care about.
Yeah.
So that stage can take a bit. And then when they start to feel that maybe, you know, you are putting your foot down, or maybe you've rolled over completely and said, oh, yes, I'm worthless. And they go, yes, you are. See you later. And then the discard is quick. You're absolutely right.
So, Liz, what you're talking about there, so the experience of someone who is a narcissist, right? So that's a term. I think it's a hard term that we use, and it gets thrown around way too much. So I think that it's important to put it in perspective that usually people who have a personality style like that is because they haven't received what they needed in terms of emotional development when they were young. You know, sometimes it's even been traumatic. They haven't had the correct mirroring. Sometimes they've been in parenting relationships where their egos have been overinflated or deflated. And usually they have really, really low self-esteem as well. So there's a whole, and what's interesting about what you're saying is that some of the things that have happened to them, they then create in the person that they find. And
that's
so it's really, really interesting process. And as therapists, when we talk about it, we understand it, you know, and we have a great empathy to it, and we can have an empathy to someone with that personality. But the problem is, and I think that's what you're talking about, is that it creates casualties. It creates people who come away with real low self-esteem, and it can sometimes take someone years to recover.
Or never. I mean, is there a way of avoiding, though? I mean, are there certain types, personality types, who should avoid people like that then? And you think, hold on a second, it's almost like your friends need to say, don't get into this situation again. Remember, it's happened once before. Yeah. You know, these are the sort of people you need to run away from.
So, Liz, would you agree there's not a lot of warning signs?
There's not a lot of warning signs because they are really magnetic and highly manipulative. But just sort of actually getting back to that, there are certain people that are actually more prone to it because they've not got their own sense of self yet.
Yep.
And so it's very easy to manipulate someone who doesn't really know who they are themselves or self-worth. But, Melissa, getting back to the whole title of narcissism, it is a horrible term, actually, and it's not one that's applied easily and probably should never be applied in therapy. The other thing we need to understand, we all have a sense of narcissism in it. It's a spectrum disorder in a sense that at any given stage we can all be a little bit narcissistic and we can all be somewhere on the spectrum.
Yeah.
It's only a problem when you hit that 10 out of 10, you know, and it's there constantly, and that's the disorder. So
right.
We can all have bits of narcissism, but we're not disordered. You know,
yes.
Because we've all got healthy egos out there.
That's
yeah.
Right.
None of us can, you know, deny that. I've got a healthy ego, and yes, there's a lot of things I could tick off that narcissistic list, but I don't tick all of them.
And some would say us in radio have a little bit of an ego, I dare say.
And those TV
and those TV people,
oh, checking themselves out in the mirror and wearing all that makeup and all those clothes.
Absolutely. Look, sometimes, you know, having a lot of those traits is actually really good for
yeah, they're healthy.
Getting ahead in life.
Yep.
It's healthy. It's just when it's not healthy. And, you know, with an unhealthy, disordered narcissist, that's someone that's really high up there, they do need help and the only thing that's ever going to bring them the help is that they'll have continual failed relationships because it was just really hard.
That's right.
With someone, I mean, the lack of empathy, you know, and they can't listen. They can't really, they have an inability to really listen. Hence, really being empathetic is very hard because you haven't heard what's happening in the first place. You know, so really hard to get past that in a relationship and in a marriage. A lack of awareness of others is another one. You know, what you know, you might know when you've triggered someone. I know when I've triggered someone. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it. And sometimes I'll say, hey, did I say something that just hurt your feelings then? Normal people sometimes pick that up. They often don't. And Melissa, you're right. More often than not, it's come from trauma in their own life, and no one's given them the empathy or, you know, given them the time to or listen to them, and they have nothing to.
And what, yep.
They don't have the skills.
What's problematic is that they do look so good, and they yes. do know that yes. if you're someone who complains, my husband never listens to me, that
yes.
that person's going to hone in on that and say, oh, I'm going to pay extra attention to listening to this person because I know that that's
right.
the gap in their life.
Yes,
and so next
right.
thing you know, you're involved in an affair with someone, and at some level, some of it's conscious, some of it's not, but in that
no.
case, it's actually planned.
Yeah, that's right. There are certain people out there. You know, most people don't plan affairs and stuff. They happen. They happen at a time when the two people feeling vulnerable because, you know, there's been lack of listening or lack of desire happening in their own relationship. Lots of reasons.
Yeah.
But generally, I mean, a narcissist actually will target someone, and this is where you get the disordered side. They might even know you're married.
Yeah.
It's a game to them,
yeah.
you know, and they're the ones that come in with their self-esteem trashed, often their relationship. I've had a young woman leave a husband and another young woman leave a fiancé to turn around and have to ask, could they go back? And one could and one couldn't and couldn't rebuild it. And is still, you know, suffering terribly from her sense of self.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference in it, you know. From you get bad relationships. Everybody has bad relationships.
Yeah.
You know, that's normal. But, you know, you've got to start to sort of look for things like, you know, are they devaluing you? Do you come away feeling like a bit trashed inside and a bit bad with the person you're supposed to be, that's supposed to be loving you? The one that idealised you and put you on a pedestal. All of a sudden, when you wake up this morning, you think, gee, I didn't feel real good. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's some good warning signs, isn't there?
That's what it was like when I did my first radio show with Melissa Ferrari. I came out and I thought, now this is going to turn into something. And then she never called. I never saw her.
No, that was Lisa.
That's right. It was Lisa Ferrari. That's
wrong
what it
person, Jono.
I went to the car yard to Lisa Ferrari. That's what it was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, pretty hot name, isn't it?
Exactly. Now, Liz, it's been fantastic talking to you.
Yeah, it's nice talking to you.
We're running out of time, and it's interesting that we're, you know, get you to you know, relationship counsellors together, and it's like I just sit back and watch the fireworks.
Yes, I know. It's a great job, isn't it, Melissa?
No, it was
yes.
good. It was good for my ego for
yes.
a change. So Liz is a psychotherapist and relationship counsellor, and I hope that you never get dumped after an affair.
I hope I don't get dumped after an affair too. I hope that doesn't happen at all.
We're gonna dump you after our radio show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're being dumped very nicely though. Okay,
no, I don't mind.
With love,
Liz.
No.
Dumped with love. I like that.
Actually, Jono's dumping you. I'm not dumping you at all.
Oh, no, you're the first man ever to dump me.
Oh, wow.
You've never been dumped, Liz. Oh, wow.
This is the first time I've ever dumped anyone. I think. I mean, it's my first first.
Your first first.
My first first.
Okay, that's good to hear. Are you being kind to your wife?
Oh, let's talk about that next week. I try my best.
Right. We'll have to get you on one night to talk to Jono about his, him and his wife.
That.
Okay.
I'd love that.
Come in and do a one-on-one with a secret microphone. Thank you very much, Liz Paul.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Liz. Bye.